This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Earlier this hour here in Washington, Ed Weiler, NASA Associate Administrator for Space Science, made an announcement.
It appears that the rocks at Meridiani were not just altered or modified by water, they were actually formed in water, perhaps a shallow, salty sea. This is a profound discovery. It has profound implications for astrobiology. And I'd like to say, if you have an interest in searching for fossils on Mars, this is the first place you want to go.
Joining us now to talk about this latest news from the Red Planet and what it means is Harry McSween. He's a distinguished professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at the University of Tennessee and a member of the Mars Rover Science Team. He joins us by phone from Knoxville. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Very well. And I'd like to urge our callers, our listeners, to give us a call at 1-800-989-8255 if you have any questions as you hear this discussion on the latest discovery on Mars. You can also, of course, send us an email at totn@npr.org. Professor McSween, first of all, explain to us exactly what the rover discovered and the significance of it.
The earlier discovery of the Opportunity rover was that there were these rocks that had abundant sulfur and chlorine and bromine elements that plausibly could have formed by evaporation of seawater, but we weren't sure that that was the mechanism. Today, the announcement was that there are structures in the rocks that you can see, structures that geologists would call crossbedding, that clearly indicate that this was flowing water. So we're talking about water on the surface of Mars, not water underground percolating through pore spaces. So it was a wet world.
A wet world. And he said that there was a sea. It indicates that there was a sea. I mean, what does that mean exactly?
Well, the area in which we think these rocks occur is a pretty broad area. If they map out like we think they might, it could occupy an area maybe the size of the state of Oklahoma. So if it's that much water, even if it's only knee deep, I think you'd have to call it a sea.
And hard to imagine that there would be that much water without some kind of life in it?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. This isn't water that would be fit to drink. The minerals that have precipitated from this water indicated that it's probably more akin to battery acid than drinking water. It was pretty nasty stuff. There are certainly critters on Earth that can live in that kind of environment, but it's a reasonably hostile place, but not an impossible place for life to arise and maybe even thrive.
Is there any way of knowing, without further study of these rocks, how long ago the water dried up and what made it dry up?
We're having trouble with that. The problem, the way that we normally determine the age of a surface on another planet is by counting how many craters there are on the surface. These craters are formed by meteors that come in and impact it, and the older the surface is, the more craters it has. The problem with this particular surface is it was buried at one time and then exhumed by erosion, and so it wasn't recording craters for part of its history. And so we think that, this surface is probably several billion years old, but it's hard to tie it down very tightly.
Yeah. What will this tell us, though, about Mars' past and the possibility of life?
If you have liquid water on the surface of Mars, it tells us, for any length of time, it tells us that maybe Mars had a different climate, was warmer, less hostile than it is today. Today, liquid water is not stable anywhere on the surface of Mars. So the fact that you may have had a sloshing sea suggests that you had a climate that was maybe something closer to what we live in.
Could it have frozen this water? And if so, what would have caused that?
What we think is that the water evaporated. The way to concentrate these minerals and allow them to form is to basically evaporate the water, and then this is the sludge that's left. It's sort of like evaporating salty water, you end up with little crystals of salt in the bottom of the pan. And I think that's a more likely explanation than freezing the water, because it'd be hard to get rid of ice. I guess you could bury it, but it's a tougher thing to do.
We are talking about the latest discovery about the existence of water on Mars at one time, and Professor, correct me if I put this in the wrong way, but that it was there's now proof, or we now know, that it was moving water and could have been the size of a sea. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And if you have any questions about that, now's your chance to ask somebody who is quite an expert on the subject. The number is 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Bob in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, my question's a relatively simple one, but with the new finding of the Mars rover and with the existence of water, does this change anything in the budgeting with NASA, or is it pretty much going to be doomed?
Oh, that's a question way over my grade level, but, but one that I'm very interested in. I don't know the answer to that. I do think that there will be a continued interest in Mars exploration, because this gives us one more foot in the door for the possibility that there may have been life on Mars at one time. But whether that will translate into changes in the federal budget, particularly in the light of the overruns that we have now, is really hard to guess.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Bob. And let's go to Gerald. He is in Cody, Wyoming. Hi, Gerald.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Question is that if we have discovered that there was water on Mars, and if it was very salty, maybe brackish to that nature, for future colonization of Mars, if the Bush plan is to eventually send people to Mars, at the polar caps where there is ice currently, is that ice, could we use that for water? Or would we have to shuttle water or transport water to Mars for future colonization if, you know, the scientists there said the water was almost like battery acid? If that water has now been frozen and in the polar caps, could we use that, or would we have to transport water in?
I think we could use it. The process of freezing, in effect, removes some of the impurities from the water, but certainly it's not going to be, I suspect, that water at the Martian poles is not nice, clean drinking water, but it would be a lot more cost-effective to process that water and clean it than it would be to carry water to Mars, carrying anything to, in fact, just carrying anything into low Earth orbit is more expensive than by weight than mining gold. So I would think that if you could find water in any form, frozen, contaminated, whatever, we'll find a way to utilize that when we go to Mars.
Thanks for your call, Gerald. Here's an interesting email. What do you think about a comet or other large object hitting Mars and causing the atmosphere to become unstable, leading to the evaporation of the seas? That's from Norbert in Oregon.
Interesting idea. Comets are thought to be these dirty snowballs. That is, they contain a lot of ices themselves, and when they smash into a planet, certainly those ices could evaporate or be volatilized, and so you would end up, if it was a large comet, perhaps changing the atmosphere temporarily. And I'm not sure what effect that might have, but certainly you have to be aware of these kinds of dynamic events that could cause changes in climate on Mars and on the Earth as well.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Professor.
My pleasure.
Harry McSween is a professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. He's also a member of the Mars Rover Science Team. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.